Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hey everyone, welcome back to It's Just Life podcast. This is episode number 24, and we're glad you're here with us today. I'm Karen. I'm the mom of our mother-daughter duo, and Gia and I really enjoy just sharing our thoughts and ideas with you about being conscious and spiritual in a world that sometimes is not very accepting of a spiritual perspective. So thanks for being here with us today.
Hello, guys. It's Gia, the daughter. Welcome to our podcast. It's just life is what we always come down to. All these ups and downs, it's just a part of life. So we're excited to chat with you guys today. But first, we want to talk about something positive going on in the world. We know that it's easy to get caught up hearing about all the negative news in the media, and so we're trying to bring some positivity to the situation and bring up some things we've heard that are going well in the world and beautiful occurrences. So, Mom, you have a story for us, right?
Yes. I read just a little story from Australia that two Aboriginal men were eating in a restaurant, and they overheard two older women at a table nearby who were making racist comments about Aboriginals, like in their conversation, and they were talking loud enough that the two men could easily hear what the women were saying. And so the two men, in response to that, in response to hearing these racist remarks about them and their people, what they did was order a pot of tea for the two women and pay for it. And they wrote a little note to the women to be delivered with the tea and said, here you go, ladies, enjoy your tea. This is from the two Aboriginals who were at the table near you. And I was really impressed with the way they responded. Instead of getting angry and arguing with the women or saying something hateful back to these two women, they responded with an act of kindness. And I loved hearing that. And I'm wishing that more of that would happen here in our country, because I feel like right now is a time when there's a lot of racial tension going on and a lot of culture clash happening. And this is a time when more than anything we need acts of kindness like that to take place between us to help bring down some of the tension and help us remember that we're all one, we're all connected to one another, and spread more love and joy and kindness instead of spreading more hatred.
Yes, I love that. I mean, if you want to spread tolerance, then you truly have to be tolerant of others, even those who aren't tolerant of you. So it's kind of that shifting it and taking it to the next level, you know. Sometimes you can't meet people where they're at. You have to kind of rise above it and take the high road and share with them the love that they aren't ready to feel or share themselves.
Yeah, and I think it's important, like, to remember not to take personally things that people say that actually are personally insulting. I mean, could easily be viewed that way, but to decide, no, I'm going to be oblivious to the comments that other people make about me. I'm going to rise above that, and I'm going to respond always with love, no matter what someone else says.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into our topic today, which I'll go ahead and get into right now. This is such a powerful topic today, and I hope you guys feel this as much as I do. You know, my mom and I were chatting yesterday, as we always do. I mean, we talk way more than we do on the podcast, honestly, in real life. And we're always chatting. But we came to, like, a pretty cool realization that has really helped me recently. And that's what we want to share with you today, which is how to heal wounds and break patterns, especially unhealthy patterns, by changing their meaning. And so it's really a shift in perspective that helps you heal certain patterns that have continually caused you stress or pain in your life. And I guess I'll start by sharing a story that I had recently happened to me, which is why this topic even came up. So I am single and I'm 27, and I recently had an experience dating a guy that brought up some old patterns for me. And that is the pattern of me feeling like I get ignored a lot by men who don't communicate well, or sort of abandoned in a way, because in numerous situations in the past and in this current one, I have tried to communicate with them and been completely ignored and silenced and abandoned, and had no closure, had no communication. And I definitely took this personally, and it's been a long drawn out pattern for me in life. And I kind of was saying yesterday, like, I am sick of this. Like, I do not want to experience this anymore. Like, why is this still in my reality? Because I know that there's men out there who are good at communicating. I know that there's people out there who are really considerate and good at closure and, you know, better at just talking about their feelings or texting or whatever it might be and being accountable. And so I was just like, you know what, I'm done. Like, I'm sick of this pattern. But I also take responsibility for the fact that I'm part of the reason why it happens. You know, I'm either attracting it into my reality or simply making the meaning of it. And then it kind of clicked for me that, you know, everything we experience is simply our reaction to what goes on around us, and our perspective makes the meaning of it. So no matter what goes on in your life, it doesn't mean anything until you assign it a meaning and give it a meaning. And when we have lived out these certain patterns and we have these open wounds in us energetically from the past, and that pattern repeats itself, we tend to draw upon the past meaning of it. And then it makes the wound bigger. It's kind of just like, you know, throwing salt in the wound, like there it is again. You know, I'm going to increase the energy that I put into that wound because this is the meaning that I make of it. And now it's bigger and bigger, and it's a bigger problem, and I'm still not over it. And we can learn to end that pattern by changing the meaning consciously with awareness and saying, you know what, this exact same thing happened to me again, but I'm going to make it mean something different this time. I'm going to stop putting energy into the wound and start drawing my energy back and putting it into a healthier new perspective on it. So I guess what I turned around and did yesterday was say, you know what, when I get ignored by men or by anyone and I feel abandoned, I tend to feel like they're afraid of me because I'm so deep and I'm so real and honest, and I provide a mirror for them, and I show them either something extremely deep in them or something that they don't want to see in themselves. You know, it could be that they're not ready to go there emotionally to that deep place of love, or they see their wounds in through me because I shine such a bright light. And I've always sort of felt bad about that because people tend to run away from me. But I'm no longer going to put energy into that wound and that pattern. I'm going to shift it to mean something different to me, where if somebody ignores me or somebody cuts me out because I'm too intense and too real and deep for them, I'm going to turn around and make that mean that I am doing a great job of shining my light and being all that I'm meant to be. And now it's my turn to love myself more completely and more fully, and treat myself to something and celebrate myself. So when I get ignored, I go and take myself out for lunch and celebrate who I am, because that's really all I can do, is love myself for who I am and try to just continue to be the best person I can and shine my light no matter what anyone else's reaction is to it. So I no longer want to feed my wound and make that really sad and painful meaning out of these occurrences. I'm going to, you know, if it shows up again and somebody ignores me or somebody abandons me, I'm going to make that mean that I'm doing a great job and that I am totally worth my own love and my own celebration.
And I love that. I love the awareness that you have, and then the solution that you came up with for breaking the old pattern and changing the story, changing the meaning of that experience to help you get out of it. And I was thinking as you were talking that not only do these patterns that we set up sometimes pretty early in life when we're younger, not only do they exist energetically within us and consciously in our minds, but we know now from neuroscience that they actually exist in the brain and the way the brain stores memories. And that when you have a negative experience, the brain creates a memory about that experience and a pathway into that particular little stored memory. And the brain holds on to negative, painful experiences 10 times as strongly as it does to positive experiences. And there's a reason for that, why the brain is wired to watch for danger or negative things that might be harmful. So the brain is much more attentive to anything that is hurtful than it is anything joyful, because joyful, happy things are not a threat, but hurtful things are. So anyway, the brain stores that painful memory much more tightly than it would something positive that happened. And every time that particular memory or painful experience gets revisited, the neural pathway gets stronger and stronger, so that you're even more likely to go back to that negative memory. It gets, it's like the synapse grows larger and larger, the synapses that connect to that pathway. So it's almost like it gets set up as a vicious cycle that you can get caught in, and your brain keeps recreating the same scenario over and over again, and it becomes more and more powerful. So what you're doing by completely changing your behavior around a situation like that, that presents your brain with something totally new. Like you're totally stepping out of the neural pathway, not going through that very same process, but taking a completely different track, behaving differently, thinking differently, seeing things differently. And that's going to create a brand new positive pathway and positive memories and positive emotions that you can now attach to those relationships that you have.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm glad you can verify that with science. You know, neuroscience shows that that's true. And we tend to seek out information that verifies and validates the reality that we understand. And that's just an automatic thing. We tend to just seek out whatever validates how we already see reality. But when it comes to having these wounds and these painful experiences, we actually need a new reality. We need to reset our belief system to change the way we feel. And that's the way we break these patterns and we move forward with healthier understandings of ourselves and life. And so nothing is set in stone. You know, I was kind of saying yesterday, like, what are these beliefs I have about myself that are perpetuating this cycle and this pattern in my life? And why am I seeking out more validation and, you know, proof for that belief system? And when I acknowledge, like, oh, wow, I believe that I'm actually scary to people. I believe that I'm too much for people. I even wrote a song about that, like, am I too much? And I can choose, now that I have awareness of that belief, I can choose to change my belief to say, this is my gift, and I am doing a brilliant job of helping others shine light into their darkness. And this is a beautiful thing that I'm able to do. Shifting that belief helps me create a new reality where now I'm going to seek out more validation that that's true and that that's real. And this is such an empowering thing because, like I said, you know, we all create our own realities within our minds and our hearts and souls. Like, no reality is the same for any two people. We all have our own universe inside of us. And so it's your choice, you know, it's you, your creation as to how you make your life, this beautiful picture that you're painting. And so I encourage you to be really aware of that, those beliefs that you continue to feed and to process, and choosing wisely, like, what you want to see in your reality.
And Gia, one thing that occurred to me is that is you can also look at like the most recent relationship that you had as pointing out the wound to you. So this relationship was a gift because while on the one hand it was repeating a painful pattern from the past, it was also giving you an opportunity for this insight to occur. It was also showing you and pointing the way, like, look, here's the wound. Are you ready to look at it? And are you ready to do something different? So it's interesting that you can even change your whole perspective on the relationship and actually be grateful for it, be grateful that it occurred, because it's what led you to this realization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'd like to share with you guys how I then took this awareness and helped heal the pain from it. And it was really powerful. I had been feeling like I really wanted to seek revenge on him. I really wanted him to feel and understand my pain over, you know, what he caused me to feel. And you know, and get an explanation from him of like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you ignoring me all of a sudden? And why did this happen? And so I felt all this anger and this fire to like seek revenge and just make it, you know, make it his problem, make it known that he messed up. And I, you know, I was talking to you about it, Mom, just like, what am I going to do about all this pain? And I got the idea that, you know, as much as I want to talk to him about it and seek closure with him, there's a good chance that I won't get the closure I seek from actually hearing it from his mouth. I would love to hear what I'd love to hear him say, but it's pretty unlikely that he's going to say exactly what I need him to say. And then I thought, well, why don't I say it to myself? You know, if that's what I need to hear, then I'm going to say it to me and pretend he said it and pretend he feels it, because I am intuitive, and I do know that on some level I'm connected to his soul, and I can kind of feel and sense what his highest self would say to me, even though his body, mind, and his ego are struggling with the emotion of it and aren't able to communicate it and aren't able to, you know, fess up or seek closure with me. And so by tapping into his highest soul and mine at the same time, last night I brought out my journal and I wrote a letter to him. And I wrote it as if I would really give it to him, although I'm not going to. And so I didn't rant, you know, I didn't go deep into my pain or my anger. I wrote it as if I would really want him to hear it. I would really want him to hear these exact things. And so I was fairly kind, and I was very honest. And I just said, this is how I feel, you know, this is how this made me feel, not you're a horrible person and I hate you. You know, I kept it with me. I kept it in I statements. I feel this. I'm so surprised. I'm so hurt. And then after really processing that letter to him, I then wrote myself a letter back from him where I said everything that I wished he would say to me. And what ended up flowing was like freaking incredible, because I really, through writing that letter back to myself, tapped into some things that I truly hadn't even thought of before when I was trying to feel compassionate and understanding toward him. And I really think that I was able to like tap into his higher soul and get some wisdom and some clarity from it that his body mind couldn't give me if he tried. Like if I really, you know, got a hold of him and talked to him on the phone, I would not have heard these things come out of his mouth. But I heard his soul speak through me to write this letter back to myself. And what came through was so healing. And, you know, it helped me just seek and find the closure that I needed. And to hear that, you know, he doesn't know any better and he's doing his best and he's truly sorry and he wishes that he could be better, but he's not. You know, and whether he could acknowledge that or not, it's what I needed to hear and what I needed to feel in order to heal the wound. And it was like so powerful. So I hope everybody will try that at some point.
And that made me think that our wounds, the wounds that we carry, are actually places where our self-love and self-compassion has been broken in a way, you know, and the wound that is still open and that we're still carrying within us isn't really being, it isn't really being addressed by our self-love. It's being hidden from our self-love in a way. And so when you wrote that letter, you were calling in all the love you could gather from your soul and his soul as well to shine on the wound, to allow it finally to heal. And that seems like really the perfect solution, is to heal it within yourself rather than thinking that another person with all of their, with their limitations and their own wounds is going to be able to help you heal. It's recognizing I need to heal myself. And there are things that I can do to bring that healing into me, to make it complete.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I was saying, you know, if even if I tried to talk to him about it, I don't think he would understand, because this is my reality that I'm living in. And he wouldn't know all that I've been through that has led up to this point. And it's honestly none of his business. It's not even his problem, why I have this wound and why it keeps getting ripped open, and you know, why there's so much energy and pain there that I'm going through. Like, he wouldn't even get that. So that's honestly my job. That's my responsibility to work on healing that. And his job was, I guess, simply to point it out that I needed to work on it. But instead of making it his problem, I take it upon myself to heal myself with my own awareness. And that's ultimately what we all have to do in any relationship, is recognize that no one else has the power to make you happy. You are always the one who makes you happy. Even if you associate, you know, your happiness to be with that person. I mean, if you've ever had an experience where you've been in a new relationship and you're like, oh, every time I'm with this person, I just feel so excited and so overjoyed, or so at peace, or so in love. And then at some point, it's like you have an experience with them where it didn't go that way. And you're like, oh God, I mean, it used to be that he made me feel so peaceful, and now I'm just feeling annoyed. Like, what happened? Like, what happened with that? And I recently kind of, it clicked for me that, you know what? He wasn't the one who made me feel peaceful or excited or whatever it was. I was. That was me. That was my reality. That was my emotions. And that was my expectations and my imagination and my dream reality that I crafted up, you know, based on being with him. But it wasn't him after all. I'm the one who's in love. I'm the one who's excited. I'm the one who's peaceful. And so I can recreate that at will with intention. Instead of giving them the job of making you feel that way, or even putting it in their hands, giving them the responsibility, it's actually not them at all. It's you the whole time who makes you feel in love. And so even if you're single, you can feel in love. Even if you're single, you can feel at peace. And that's really the choice and the power we have every day to realize, I'm the one crafting this reality and nobody else can affect it. I have to take responsibility for it.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's amazing. I love what you said, that even all the good feelings are just coming from me. I'm just creating everything mm-hmm. in my world that's beautiful and wonderful. It's not because someone else makes that happen for me. It's just me. I'm the one who brings that about.
Yep. And with this last guy, he's also a musician, and for some reason, connecting with him really inspired me musically. And I would think of him and I would have all these song lyrics come to mind. And anytime he came to mind, I would put a new song lyric in my phone. And for a minute, I was giving him that power and associating it with him, like, whoa, like he really inspires me, you know, or he really makes me dream up this whole amazing, fun, sparkly reality that I love to live in, like this muse, you know. And then I realized, wait a minute, he has no idea about any of that. He doesn't even know how I feel when I feel it around him, you know. He has no clue. It's actually me. I'm the magician. I'm the artist. I'm the one creating this incredible reality. And you know what? I can enter it and re-enter it anytime I want. I can make it new and sparkly and brighter anytime I want. And it actually doesn't require him. It's like it's a gift that connecting with him has inspired this part of me, but ultimately it's me. It's within me, and I can choose it and create it anytime I want.
And, you know, that's the ultimate mindset to help us recover from being a victim, because it's in victimhood that we imagine that other people cause us to suffer. Other people are causing bad things to occur in our lives and mistreating us and doing things to us that make us unhappy. And that mindset that you just described of recognizing, no, wait, this is all me. This is all me and how I react. And it's the reality that I'm creating around me right now. And I am, yes, I'm responding to the way someone else is behaving, but it's still just me creating the very suffering that I'm feeling or the joy and happiness and creativity that I'm feeling. It's still coming from me.
Yeah, and you know what I have found and I've read a lot about and I'm discovering myself is that when you are the one who does take responsibility for your happiness and your peace and, you know, all your good emotions and your reality, it actually brings out the best in your partner, or it attracts the best partner to you. Because nobody wants to feel this pressure from their partner that, like, they need to make them happy. Like, nobody wants to feel the weight of that, that they're responsible for their partner's happiness. And so when you are just already in love on your own, you're already just so peaceful or joyful or comfortable with yourself or, you know, in love, people are going to be drawn to that about you and think and be like, I want to be your partner because I don't have to do it for you. You're already in love. And what a beautiful gift that would be to spend time with someone who's already so lit up inside. And it's not my job to take you there. It's my job to share it with you and be that within myself too. So I think ultimately the results of that are better relationships, healthier relationships and partnerships, and bringing out the best in your partner as well.
Yeah, and one of the points we talked about yesterday too is that when you heal something today that's in your life and in your awareness right now, you heal something within yourself, it is actually healed through the past, because I think many of us we're carrying baggage from the past and old wounds, maybe from way back in childhood. So we have this huge burden and load of negative experiences that we're carrying with us. But we don't necessarily have to start way back in the past and trying one at a time to heal each thing that has happened. We can actually heal that entire thread of history in our lives by doing it today, by healing the experience that we're involved in today. As you said, it's the manifestation in present time of that wound. So work on that manifestation right now today, and it will heal everything that came before it.
Right. And that's actually the beauty of these patterns that we have come up. That's actually the gift of it being a repeated pattern. I mean, we tend to think in our egos, like, oh my God, like I'm so pissed and so annoyed and so tired of this pattern. Like, why is it a pattern? It's only a pattern so that you can heal it in present time and it will completely dissolve that pattern all the way back into the past and all the way into the future. So it's kind of, I think it's good to recognize, like, time isn't as real, you know, and tangible as we think it is. It's like we always are present. We always are present. And the only thing you have to worry about is this present moment. And when you heal something in this present moment, everything in the past, you know, that was all that needed to happen. All those situations, all those patterns only came up so that you can heal them. And when you missed an opportunity, it arises again in the present time. And if you miss that one, it arises again in the present time. And when you look at it and you finally heal it and you finally embrace it, it dissolves all the other occurrences. You don't have to go back into the past and unfold them. You just trust that, you know what, it's cleared. And maybe, Mom, you can talk about your relationship with your mom regarding that.
Yeah. There were a couple. Well, I had a couple of little stories I was going to tell, but
yeah, sure.
one thing was the idea of grace, that sometimes grace, you know, from the universe, from God, gives us these opportunities to heal when we weren't even looking for it and didn't know we needed it. And sometimes, like, I talk a little bit about our hidden wounds, because sometimes we carry with us wounds that we don't realize are affecting us. We don't see how they affect us. But anyway, one of those wounds for me was when I was in junior high, my very first year of junior high, I was going to attend the school dance. So it was my first year in junior high, the first dance in my whole life that I ever would ever have attended, and was really excited about it. And my mom was really excited because she'd never been to a school dance when she was young. She grew up very, very poor, could never have afforded, like, clothes to wear or shoes to wear to go to a dance. She'd never been to one. And this was like, she was kind of living through me. And she had a special dress made for me to wear to the dance. It was made out of this silver, sparkly silver material. And she took me to her hairdresser the day of the dance, who did my hair up on my head in, like, all these ringlets and curls and put little flowers in my hair. And she bought me silver shoes to go with the dress. It was, like, amazing. This beautiful, like, fairy princess outfit, in a way, that I wore to the dance. And I got to the school and walked in the gymnasium for the dance to see every other girl there with her hair down. This was in the 60s, of course, long and straight, wearing mini skirts or jeans. And I looked like a complete freak, you know, dressed up like I was going to Cinderella's ball. And everyone else was just there dressed really casually. And I felt completely out of place. And I stood in the corner the whole night, and not one person asked me to dance. Not one person talked to me the whole dance. And I ended up in the stall in the bathroom crying for half of the night, because I felt so humiliated and so embarrassed. And I never went to another dance. And I created this story in my head that I am just so weird. I'm such a geek and so freaky, and I'm not like other people, and no one really likes me, and I'm not attractive. Like, I created a story in my head that I carried with me. So not only did I never went to a dance ever again in junior high or high school, I never got invited to the prom, I never got invited on a date in all of those years. And this story of me being unpopular and unattractive was a huge thread in my image of myself and my self-esteem that carried on through a lot of years and affected a lot of my relationships, how I interacted with other people, my confidence, my courage in going out toward other people. And so I just believed, like, I was the freaky, geeky girl that no one liked. But one thing that happened, this was this moment of grace. It was at my 20th high school reunion. I went back home for that reunion, and a guy was there, now a man, but he was, when we were in school together, I had a crush on him all through junior high and high school. And he asked me to dance with him. So this is 20 years later. He asked me to dance with him. And while we were on the dance floor, he said, "You know what? I always had a crush on you all through junior high and high school." But he said, "I was way too shy to ever ask you out." And he said, "I just thought I should tell you that." And instantly it was like, oh my gosh, the story that I'd been telling myself all those years was completely wrong. He just rewrote the story for me, because here I wasn't the girl who never got asked out, who was so unattractive that no one was interested in. I was the girl that the shy, cute boy had a crush on all those years. And suddenly it, like, completely, like, the walls of my low self-esteem story completely collapsed and fell apart. And all of a sudden I had a whole new perspective of, oh, wait, all those years that I thought of myself as being an outcast, that wasn't the truth at all. There was someone who thought I was cool and thought I was cute and who wanted to go out with me but was too shy. And so that made me realize that many of the memories that we have and the stories we've told ourselves are not even accurate. They're not even real. We've told ourselves stories that come only from our own perspective, and we can't even begin to see the other person's point of view and how they're looking at things. But we just assume what we remember or how we see things is the truth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the tricky thing of being just one little human and one little mind, is like the way you see things, the way things happen to you, you take to be just true and real. And it takes a lot of awareness and a lot of expansion and intention to try to get out of those beliefs you've always had and recognize, like, you know what? That's a limiting belief, and that probably isn't even true. I'm going to choose to believe something else. And we have that power at all times. And it absolutely shifts everything. Nothing's real unless you make it real, you know, and your reality will reflect what you believe. So believe the most empowering and the most loving things you can, because that's what you'll see in your world.
Yeah, and there's no way that you can honestly know what other people are thinking or how other people feel, what they do think about you and how they
feel.
Or
their whole story and all of their wounds that they're living out and trying to heal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then you referred to an experience with my mom, which was that for one thing, there had been tension with my mom my whole life. And my mom was actually involved in that story because it was my mom living through me, buying me the silver dress. Like, you know, that's kind of how my relationship with my mom went. She used me in a lot of ways to compensate for her pain and things that had hurt her in the past. She relived them through me in certain ways. And I ended up experiencing pain in that relationship. So my mom and I had a lot of tension and a lot of hurtful experiences between us. And I had carried a lot of resentment and a lot of baggage about my mom through my whole life, and always wondered how I was ever, ever going to heal all of that. How was I ever going to process all the little wounds and all the little differences between us and all the tension that had happened between us. But it turned out, as my mom was dying and I had the opportunity to take care of her in her home in the last 5 days of her life, and we had such this amazing, profound experience together, one-on-one, just with me being her caregiver and doing everything for her. And there was this really dramatic moment of just, I can just say, it was like pure forgiveness that happened between us. It was really amazing. And I don't think it could have happened if we hadn't been in that situation together, where she was really helpless and needed me totally. And I got to just care for her in love. And there was this instantaneous moment of forgiveness, and I just felt it happening. I felt everything inside of me shifting, and suddenly all the weight of that baggage that I'd been carrying was lifted immediately. And honestly, all of my memories of my mom, and even, you know, the old memories I'd been kind of nursing of, she did this to me once and she said that to me and this happened, all of those memories completely dissolved away and became something different. I remembered the past in a different way than I ever had before. And it all came from that one moment, one instant. So that was the example of healing everything that happened before in the present moment by one simple little act of forgiveness that took place. So it was really miraculous.
Yes.
For me that happened.
And you didn't have to consciously go through and recall them all in order for them to be healed. It was just anything that was associated with that pattern and that wound in you that you needed to heal spiritually dissolved. And you didn't have to consciously note each one. It just happened easily.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really amazing.
So really, you know, maybe we all think there's like so much we need to get done in this life, but honestly, it's all pretty simple and it's all just right here in front of you in this moment, in this now. Whatever you need to know, whatever you need to learn is right here before you. So just take it one moment at a time and think, how can I shift my reality? How can I shift my perspective in this moment to love myself more and to heal whatever pattern is coming up for me? And don't worry about the past and don't worry about the future. It's like, it's all going to come up in its own time, in the right time, and you'll be ready for it.
And view everything that happens right now in the present time as an opportunity. So even if you feel hurt by someone else's behavior or actions, turn it around and use that as an opportunity. Like, what is that showing me within me that might need to be healed? And how can I love myself more through this wound that's now opening up?
Yep, because honestly, it's ultimately always in our hands. It's always our power to heal ourselves. It's no one else's job and it's no one else's business. We came here to be our own healers and our own teachers and our own spirit guides. So wishing you guys all the best on your journey. Please share with us any stories you have that resonate with this theme.
Yeah, for sure. As always, we tell you our stories in hopes that you might glean something from it or learn something from it. And we're not experts. We're just going through life one day at a time, just like you. And generally, we share something that just happened in our lives that we're just figuring out as we go along the process. So we hope it's helpful to you. Please, please feel our love embracing you and showering you for this next week until we're back together again on the next It's Just Life podcast.
Yep. Check out our show notes at itsjustlifepodcast.com if you want to check out our websites or some of our offerings or get connected to with us on social media. And we love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.